أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأذريته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الفتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاخت الأرض بأحدها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم:
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
الفقر راحة والغنى عقوبة والظلم ندامة والمعصية مصيبة والضحك هلاك البدن والبكاء من خشية الله أمان من النار. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
This Majlis al-Fatiha is dedicated to the grandparents of our brother Nishan, who passed to us. His grandfather and grandmother, both of them, have passed away. So please recite one Surah Al-Fatiha and three times Surah Al-Ikhlas for their soul. Our Holy Prophet is saying in this hadith that faqr is comfort and ghina, richness, is punishment. Well, ghina uqubata, richness is a punishment. Well, dhulmu nadamatun, and dhulm and oppression is repentance. Wal ma'siyatu musibatun, and a sin is a calamity. Wal dhihku halakul badan, and laughing is destruction of the body. Wal bukaa min khashyati Allah, and crying from the fear of Allah, amanum minan nar, is the protection from the fire. This is a glorious statement, just like any other statement of the Prophet is equally glorious. And in this beautiful hadith, Prophet is telling us great pearls of wisdom. And the first of those pearls is that he's telling us about the importance of faqr and poverty. And our scholars say that faqr and poverty is rahat and comfort, because it will have comfort at the end. The aqibat, the end result, is comfort. مَنْ نَظَرَ إِلَى الْعَوَاقِبِ سَلِمَ. The hadith from the Prophet says, whoever looks at the awaqib, the end, the end results, got secure. So, we don't care about the results of this dunya. There's a fine line between two things. Don't confuse. You know, like the Imam Khomeini, used to say, Imam Kalafi was he famed, and he applies to, focus on the fariza, not on the result. He's talking about the results of this dunya. You don't care about the results of this dunya. But we do care about the akhirat, means the results in akhirat. There's a fine line between two things, don't confuse. So, akhiratul amr is related to our akhirat, which we should focus on the aqibat, and that's how we will straighten our behaviors and correct our behaviors, and we'll do things related to the akhirat. Not just that, but we will go beyond doing things for the akhirat. We'll end up with the tawfiq from Allah, inshallah, to reach a stage where we don't even care about neither the dunya nor the akhirat. Because when the verses, we have these two verses of the Holy Qur'an, where Allah has said to the Holy Prophet, وَاسْقِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاوَةِ وَالْعَشِيِّ. This is one verse. Allah is asking the Holy Prophet to do sabr along with those people who call upon their Lord in the mornings and in the evenings. And this is from Surah Al-Kahf, verse 28. And also another verse says to the Prophet, وَلَا تَطْرُدِ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاوَةِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ. Don't repel those people who call upon their Lord in the morning and the evenings. يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ. They intend, they want the wajh of His, wajh of Allah, in other words. And in the tafsir, the Prophet asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why is the fuqara, why is that izzat and love given to the fuqara? Those people who used to sit along with the Prophet, all of them were fuqara. Just FYI. Salman and Farisi and Miqdad and Al-Aswad and Kindi and Abu Dharr al-Ghaffari and Ammar ibn Yasir and Hudhayfa al-Yaman and all those ones who were, closer to the Prophet, all of them were fuqara. So, and this is what the mushrikeen of Makkah used to say to the Prophet, you want us to become Muslims, so we end up hanging around with these people, these penniless, poor people. The Prophet asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says to the Prophet, وَلَا تَطْرُدِ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ. Don't rebel those people who call upon their Lord in the morning and the evening. يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ. Prophet asked Allah, why is that izzat and love for the fuqara? And Allah replies back to the Prophet, there are people who ask from us dunya, and there are people who ask from us akhirat. But the fuqara did not ask from us neither dunya nor the akhirat, and they only ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from him. So Allah is sufficient for them, and nothing can be their reward except Allah and His love. This is what we learn in the light of the hadith. So, al-faqru rahatun. Faqr is comfort. Wal-ghina and richness. Uqubatun. Prophet says, wal-ghina uqubatun. And the richness is a punishment. Our scholars say that faqr is comfort because the end result of not this dunya, end result of akhirat, they are talking about, aqibatul umur, not the natija of this life. Because the end result of that life, the aqibat, is comfort. So that's why faqr is comfort. And ghina is a punishment because the end result, the aqibat, is punishment, is sorrow and hisab and pain. Didn't the Prophet say to Imam Ali alayhi salam, Ya Ali, ma ahadun min al-awwalina wal-akhirin illa wa huwa yatamanna yawm al-qiyamah annahu lam yu'ta min al-dunya illa quta. O Ali, there isn't a single person from the earlier or the and later generations except that he will wish on the Day of Judgment, I wish I was not given more than the qut. Qut, obviously, in Arabic, we use it for what is sufficient for the survival of the person. And our beloved messenger has, when it comes to feeling proud over something, where everything of his is on the kamal, on the highest level of perfection, and he is the most perfect individual, isn't right, in the entire history of the humankind. The akmal, the most perfect. So everything of his deserves to feel proud. But what we learn in the light of the authentic narration is that Prophet felt proud over his faqr. Where he says in this hadith, al-faqru faqri. Faqr is a matter of pride for me. وَبِهِ أَفْتَخِرُ عَلَىٰ سَائِرِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. And upon this, I feel proud over all the prophets. So, fuqara have the high status because يُرِدُونَ وَجْهَهُ. Because scholars say in the tafsir, they want the wajh of Allah, His wajh. They neither want dunya nor they want the akhirat. So they operate, they do, they perform things in the love of Allah. This is the status of faqr. And our urafa have divided the faqr into three stages. Three maratib and levels of faqr. Faqr, the level number one is called ma'rifat. A person should become an arif, ahlul ma'rifah, ahlul ma'na, person has the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first level of faqr. And ma'rifat has 10 khisal and signs. If you have these 10 signs, then you are an arif, you have the ma'rifat. Sign number one and khislat and attribute number one is the knowledge. He knows what he's supposed to do. And I'll just go through those 10 signs quickly to move forward. And the second one is the amal, practicing upon the knowledge. And the third one is the shukr, being grateful towards the blessings of Allah. And the fourth is the sabr over the balaya, means being steadfast and resilient and staying the course instead of, you know, getting disheartened or disheartened, staying the course and tolerating and withstanding and, you know, and being resilient over all that comes in your way, in the way of the obedience of Allah. And the fifth khislat and attribute and sign of an arif is bazl, the blessings that he enjoys, he will give away to others. And sixth is the qana'at, means being content with what Allah has given you, instead of going for hirs and greed. And the seventh is tawheed, means every action of his in his life is free from all forms of shirk. And the eighth one is tawakkul, means reliance of Allah in all the matters of life. And the second last is tasleem, means submissive to the commands of Allah. And the last and the tenth sign is tahammul, is tolerance towards the hardships that you face in the life. So these are the 10 signs that our great personalities, some of our great scholars have mentioned in that sequence, which compose the level number 1 of faqr, which is called ma'rifat. Ma'rifat is a daraja and level of faqr in Allah. And the second level of faqr is hubb, means love towards Allah. And the third level is the ishq. So when the hubb and the love of a person increases to higher and higher stages, that converts into the deep love towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what we call ishq. So a faqir is the faqr towards Allah is going to take us towards the level where we will basically be drowned in the extreme and deep love towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when someone asked one of the urafa about the ishq, let me first read the sentence of the Farsi, quote unquote, what he said. پرسیدن عشق چیست گفت قفلی است بی مفتاح و شبی است بی مصباح و آتشی است بی دود و زبانی است بی سود و قدمی قدم در نیستی نهادن است در هست و بستر عافیت فروختن و بساط راحت نوشتن و درد بی سامان درد بی درمان راه بی سامان اگر سر این داری اینک میدان میدان مردان و درنا برو بازی کن با کودکان. So this is a statement, quote unquote. Now let me say the gist of the statement in English. It's kind of hard to translate some, metaphors and terminologies. But what he's trying to say is that ishq is the deep love, the status of having a deep love towards Allah is a lock without the key. And it's a smoke without the, it's a fire without the smoke. And it's annihilating yourself, your existence, or sacrificing your existence for the sake of the aslul wujud, the essence of the existence, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's an illness without a cure, and it's a travel without the luggage. Ishq means a travel towards Allah without a luggage. And remember what Salman al-Farsi had said in one of his statements when he was the wali of Madain, and there was a sail, there was a storm coming in that neighborhood, and some people rushed towards him and said, there's a storm, water is entering into the houses, people are rushing, fleeing the city, so why don't just also leave, go out? Salman al-Farsi picked up his mushaf, his Quran, his asa, his stick, and a little bag that he had, a small bag with some of his stuff. He picked up the bag over his back, got the stick, grabbed the mushaf, and took his na'lain, his slippers, and started to walk out like that. And then he was walking out, he said, "Hakada yanjul mukhifun." This is how those who are light will succeed. So the Prophet has said to Imam Ali alayhi salam, "Ya Ali, najal mukhifun wa halakal musqilun." The light ones got succeeded, and the heavyweight ones, those who have heavy burdens and luggages over them, are the ones who got destroyed. So ishq is a travel without the luggage. If obviously it's a tongue without the benefit. So when a person reaches to those high levels, obviously the secrets and the asrar are never disclosed to the people. So it translates into the fact that you're not supposed to tell everything that you have learned. Isn't it right? In Farsi, they have a proverb. They say, you know, "Hakira asrar-e haq amukhtan, mor karda to zabanish bukhtan." Anyone to whom they have taught the asrar and secrets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have sealed their mouths. So these people don't speak. They don't tell what all those secrets that they know. So ishq is, when asked by another of the Urufa, he says that al-mahabbatu sharabun safin la yashrabuha illa rajulun wafin. So mahabbat and love of Allah is a pure drink. Now, no one is entitled to drink except a person who has abundant ability and capability in his spirituality to basically accommodate. So our Holy Prophet used to combine the Sharia and the Tariqat together, and used to consider the Tariqat to be subservient towards the Sharia and dependent over the acting upon the Sharia. If you want to reach the Tariqat, then you have to completely, fully follow the Sharia. It's impossible for a person to reach the Tariqat, which is Batin, without completely following the Sharia. And obviously, so he used to consider the Tariqat to be Tabi' and obedient and dependent over the Sharia and the laws of the Sharia. No one can reach nowhere. Let me put it in these words. Instead of bringing it down to a simplified level, Tariqat is obedient toward the Sharia. The simple explanation: no one can reach to any destiny, achieve no spiritual goal, without practicing the do's and do nots mentioned in the Shariat of the Prophet. So this is how you reach wherever. If you don't follow the wajib and the haram, you can never reach no spiritual achievement and destiny and destination. Anyone who claims to have achieved some spiritual level without practicing the Sharia, you know, this is a claim without a proof, and it's unacceptable. And also the Prophet used to consider the Sharia and Tariqat both to be in the service and khidmat of Haqiqat, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is how you can achieve. So when you find, if you are not in the realm of Sharia yet, you are not practicing the laws of the Sharia, you cannot imagine to reach any stage. Bushr al-Hafi is a person, a Shia, a follower in the time of Imam al-Qadim alayhi salatu wasalam. And Imam al-Qadim alayhi salam is walking in front of his house in the street, and he hears, Imam alayhi salam hears the voice of Ghina. So there was Ghina and song being sung in the house of Bushr al-Hafi. So at the time Imam al-Qadim alayhi salam was passing by, her, his female maid comes out of the house to throw the garbage. And Imam Al-Kadhim asks that female maid, is the owner of yours a free person or a slave? In those days, you know, people used to own slaves, isn't that right? Islam condemns and eradicated this problem of slavery in a gradual process. So people own slaves. So Imam al-Islam asked that that woman, that is your owner a free man or a slave? A hur or an abd? And she replies back, no, my owner is a free man. So Imam al-Islam said, لو كان عبدا لخاف من مولاه. That means, in other words, yeah, you said the right thing. If he was a slave, he would have been afraid of his mawla. But Imam is trying to say, if he was a slave of Allah, he would have been afraid, having taqwa and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this conversation took place between Imam and that female maid. It took some moments, so she got delayed at the gate. So when she returns back inside, Bushr al-Hafi, who was busy in that ghina, he asked that woman that, why did you delay? And she said, well, when I was there throwing the garbage, I saw a man passing by, and he asked me this question: is the owner of yours a free man or a slave? Look at the wisdoms and how our imams used to put the issues on the table, how he's presenting the thing, how he's striking into the conscience of the people, what to say and how to say and what not to say. And this is what he replied, لَوْ كَانَ عَبْدًا لَخَوَى مِنْ مَوْلَىٰ. If he was a slave, he would have been afraid of his mawla, master, that was Allah. So Bushr al-Hafi was shaken with that statement. Al-Kalama إِذَا خَرَجَ مِنَ الْقَلْبِ دَخَلَ فِي الْقَلْبِ. When the statement comes out of the soul, it enters into the soul. وَإِذَا خَرَجَ مِنَ الْلِسَانِ, and it comes out from the tongue, لَمْ يَتَجَاوَزِ الْآذَانِ. It does not penetrate farther than the ears. That's the statement of the Imam. It had a lot of impact. Obviously, some of the time we find, you know, there is no impact from the statement of the imams. It doesn't mean that they didn't have the kalam and the statements were not coming out of their souls or hearts in those times. It always comes from their hearts. But the recipient souls didn't have the reception that is required. Qabiliyatul qabil. You know, there is a naqs and the deficiency in the recipient souls. That's why some of the times people are not buying what the imams were teaching. So he was shaken with that statement, and it clicked really well. He realized that he's doing wrong, and he left the gathering, ran out of his house, and ran into the alley to find out who's this man. So soon he discovered that it's the Imam al-Kadhim, alayhi salatu wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And when he ran out of his house, he ran without the shoes. And this is why we call him Bushr al-Hafi. Hafi in Arabic means someone who is not wearing the shoes. And he has some of the narrations in Ilm al-Rajal also. It's narrated in Ilm al-Rajal. You find when his name comes with the narrations. And Bushr al-Hafi has now became kind of an alam and a name for him. So Imam alayhi salam, he found the Imam, he did the tawbah in front of the Imam to get out of all those, the haram, and obviously his tawbah was accepted. So if we go to the ma'soom, if we turn back to the hujjat of Allah, if we turn back to the khalifa of Allah, if we realize that the Imam of our time is watching us, and we do the tawbah, this is how we will be released from those sins. So it requires a person to consider the Imams to be always there, always holding the imams to be, you know, nazir, watchful of our amal. You know, there's a hadith that I would like to mention from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
That he says that in that hadith that Allah created the universe and Adam 500,000. Allah created the noor of hours 500,000 years before the universe and Adam. 500,000 years before the creation of the universe and Adam, Allah created the noor of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And then the Prophet says that Allah opened up my noor, and from that arsh and kursi, the throne of Allah and the divine chair was created. So we learned that the arsh and the throne of Allah and the kursi, the chair of Allah, is created precisely from the noor of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And then the Prophet says that for I swear by the Haqq that I am superior than the arsh and kursi. I'm superior than the throne and the chair. And then the Prophet says that Allah opened up the noor of Ali, and from that he created the lawh and qalam, the divine slate and the pen. So the lawh, the divine slate, we know that's the place where all the taqdeer, qadr, qada and qadr of Allah, all the destinies of the universe is destinies of everyone are written by the divine pen. Isn't it right? And the entire Sharia, all the laws of the Sharia are also written on the divine slate. This is the final Sharia of the Holy Prophet. Isn't it right? And after the rihlat and departure of our beloved Prophet, there cannot be any further nasakh or, you know, invalidating of any of the rulings that he has mentioned. No power can invalidate or do the nasakh of any of the teachings of the Prophet after his departure. So as final Sharia is written in the law, and this is how we will be, it will be decided who is going to be Sa'id, Sa'adatmand, or Shaqi, means doomed and a failure on the Day of Judgment, based on what is written, based on obviously our actions, and this is how it is written already according to the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, based on our actions. So Imam Ali alayhi salam's noor is the one that was used to create the lawh and qalam, and it definitely makes sense why our behavior towards the walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam defines our future and our success and our failure eternally. And then Prophet says, I swear to the Haqq, I swear to Haqq that Ali is superior than God and Qalam. And then Prophet says, Allah opened up the door of my son Hassan, and from that he created the seven heavens, the Samawat al-Saba, Haf Asman, the seven heavens, and all the angels. All the malaika are created from the noor of Hassan, Imam al-Hasan al-Mujtaba alayhi salatu wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Not a matter of surprise when you find Jibreel and Mikael alayhi salam showing up so many times, not once, so many times. They consider it a matter of fakhr and iftikhar and pride for them to come, and they serve Sayyidina Zahra sallallahu alayha, and they served Imam al-Hassan and Imam al-Hussein when they were babies in the cradle, when they were young babies. These two angels are coming every now and then to serve these leaders of paradise. All the angels are created from the nur of Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam, and all the seven heavens and samawatu sama created from his nur. And then the Prophet says that I swear to the Haqq that my son Hasan is superior than the seven heavens and the angels and all the angels. And then Prophet says, from Allah opened up the nur of my son Hussein, and from that he created the seven jannat, the seven paradises, and the hur. So all the hur in the paradises, all of them, and all the paradises are actually created from the nur of Al Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salatu was salam. So, and after that, the Prophet informs us that Allah enforced or put darkness over the seven heavens. The angels started to recite their tasbih and tahleel, their phrases of remembrance of Allah, subhanallah, la ilaha illallah, tasbih and tahleel, and brought us, that means the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, as shafi' intercession, for intercession. And so that dhulmat and darkness should be removed. Allah said a word, a kalima, and from that word Allah created a nur. And Allah said another word, and from that word Allah created ruh. And then Allah combined the nur and the ruh together, mixed it up, and from that Allah created the nur of Fatima.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
That's how we learn that nur of Fatima Az-Zahra sallallahu alayhi was created from those two kalima of Allah, from which he created the nur and the ruh. And when the nur of Fatima alayhi salam was created, this nur was lit up in the form of a qindil, or a candle, in front of the arsh and throne of Allah. And when the nur of Fatima was lit up as a candle and qindil in front of the arsh of Allah, all the seven heavens, as samawat as-sab'a, all the seven heavens and earth were illuminated by the nur of Fatima alayhi salam. And this is the reason Prophet says she is called Zahra. So we are, alhamdulillah, proud to be blessed by Allah to have the walayat of Rasul and Ahlul Bayt, to believe in personalities like them, and to have them as our shufa'a, to do shufa'at and intercession for us. So this is how we are supposed to have our focus towards the love of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, which is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like Abu Zar, and I am coming to close to the end of my speech very soon, Abu Zar al-Ghafari, when it was the last moments of his life, and he was set on exile by the ruler to Rabzah, and the people of Rabzah came for his iyadat, finding out about his well-being in the final moments. When you are sick, when you are on the deathbed, well, there was no bed at that time, obviously he was lying there, and he was in the desert. So, when you are in the final moments, about to die, obviously people come up and they ask about your well-being, how are you feeling, do you need something? Isn't it right? That's natural. What's kind of illness or headache, or you have some pain or whatever, what kind of complaint do you have? So they asked the same thing from Abu Zar. what kind sort of complaint do you have? So they can basically find some doctor, some solution for him. What complaint do you have? From what do you complain? So he replies back, my complaint is towards my own sins.
He's not focusing on anything, any illness of his body or if there is any or something.
Isn't it right? About my sins. They said to Abu Dharr, do you want something? Because some people want, okay, give me some water, give me some drink, give me some, thing to eat, something that I really like to eat. In the final moments, let me have one more chance to eat that or drink that. Abu Dharr did not say any of those things when they asked, what do you like? He says, what I desire is the rahmat of the Lord, mercy of the Lord. And then they said, do you want a doctor? So basically they can bring some doctor for him. He said, doctor, tabib, is Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of the universe. And it's Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of the universe, is the one who made me sick. So basically, these statements are wisdoms. That means he's submitting to what Allah has done towards him. Isn't it right? This is how those who belong to the level of rida and pleasure of Allah never ask Allah to change the situation in which they are. They are always radi and pleased in whatever situation Allah keeps them in. So when he saw the Malakul Maut is coming. But every moment sees, even the kuffar, they say everyone sees the Malakul Maut. So he saw the Malakul Maut in the final moments, and he said to Malakul Marhaba, welcoming him to my friend that has arrived at a time and I am extensively in need towards him. And the person who becomes nadim and repents upon looking at you never succeeds. And he said to Allah, O my Lord, take me quickly towards your rahmat, and I swear to your haqq that I was always wishing to meet you and never were disliking the death. So those who have the status of faqr in Allah and those who belong to the status of love and ishq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always are embracing their maut. And they're never disliking the death. Look at what Imam Hussain alayhi salam, the conversation that takes place between Imam Hassan and Qasim ibn Hassan alayhi salam. And so Imam alayhi salam asked Qasim ibn Hassan that كيف الموت عندك? How is the death in your eyes? In other words. And he replies back, this is a person who's a member of Ahlul Bayt. Qasim is part of Ahlul Bayt. Look at how he replies. Hazrat Qasim alayhi salam replies, أحلى من الأصل. Sweeter than the honey. This is how the Ahlul Bayt are. In their eyes, death is sweeter than the honey. So this is something they love. They want to meet death in the Ka'ullah. They want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They want to meet Allah. And they are always prepared for death. So in the night before Ashura, when Imam al-Hussein was reading the names of the Shuhada from the daftar, from the deed, from the book, the names of all the Shuhada, he was reading from the names of all, each and every Shaheed. One by one, the names of Shuhada was mentioned. Some of the scholars have mentioned in the tarikh, Imam actually showed their daraja and level to each of his ashab in the paradise in the night of before Ashura. He showed the daraja in the Jannat for each of them. So Imam alayhi salam did not mention the name of Qasim ibn Hassan. And this young boy got so upset because he was wishing to become shaheed and sacrifice his life for his uncle Imam al-Hussein. And now that the time of Shahadat comes, his uncle is not even mentioning his name. So he became upset and he stands up and he goes towards the corner in the tent and he starts crying there. He starts crying. Obviously he's upset that he's not going to become Shaheed because he did not hear his name in the list of Shuhada. and Imam al-Husayn. And finally it comes into the mind of Qasim ibn al-Hasan that his dad gave him a ta'weez, a written writing, you know. And so is a ra'ayta. So we find, so when you are in a hardship, when Qasim is in some sort of hardship and trouble, he should open up that. Qasim ibn al-Hasan thought, and he obviously, this is the right time. This is the biggest hardship, in other words, that he's going through. He opens up that ta'weez. He opens up that writing of his dad, Imam al-Mujtama. And he finds in the writing, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ عَمَّكَ وَحِيدًا غَرِيبًا فَرِيدًا. In some of the narration, there's a Mazmoon riwayah, that when if you find your uncle alone and lonely, no, go for his help, in other words. Adrik Ammaka al-Husayn, some of the narrations say like this. Go for your uncle Hussein. He becomes so happy. Now he has a license for Shahada. Because obviously, Imam al-Husayn is not going to refuse what Imam al-Mujtama has written. So he takes the statement of his father to his uncle Imam al-Husayn. And Mawla replies back to him, that I just did not mention your name. Your name is there. And also the name of Ali ibn al-Asghar is also there. In other words, when Qasim hears that Ali ibn al-Asghar is also going to become Shaheed, he becomes so anxious, and he asks his uncle, Hal yasiluna ila al-khiyam? Are the ashqiya going to enter inside the khiyam and the tents? Obviously, this is very shocking for him, that a young baby like Ali ibn al-Asghar is also going to become Shaheed. Imam comforted him by saying, I'm going to take him towards the maktal, but I definitely would like to say to Qasim ibn al-Hasan, you have the ghairat of the Banu Hashim and Ahlul Bayt. You did not tolerate the statement that Asli Ali al-Asghar, how will we become Shaheed? Like to say to you, please come in the time after the Asr of Ashura, when the Ashqiya started to attack the Khiyam. At the time when Imam al-Husayn was over the Maidan of Karbala, you know, several times my Mawla fell over his face. His face down. Husayn ibn Ali fell down several times with his face down. You know, because he was looking at the Ashqiya. He was caring that they did not enter into the Khiyam. Ya Shi'ata ala Abi Sufyan, in lam yakun lakum deen, wa kuntum la takhafoon al ma'ad, fa kunu ahraran fi dunyakum, wa qatilukum wa tuqatiluni, fa inna nisa laysa alayhinna jinah. Because, oh, the followers of Ali Abi Sufyan, if you don't have a religion and you don't fear the Day of Judgment, then be a free man. I'm fighting with you and you are fighting against me. The ladies have no fault. Imam Hussein could not tolerate that. But as soon as the martyrdom of Hussein ibn Ali happens, the Ashqiya started to attack the Khiyam with their spear and with the fire, and they burn down the tents of the ladies, and they are moving from one khaymah towards the other. And Sayyidah Zainab comes to Imam al-Sajjad and asks him, shall we die inside the khaymah? In other words, or we go out? And finally, Imam tells her to go out, and the ladies of Ahl al-Haram, they all walk out.
Ala rahmatullah. Welcome to the me.
Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Ilahi bihaq al-sahra. وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين. اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين. اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين. اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Please recite one surah al-Fatiha and three times surah al-Ikhlas for grandfather and grandmother and brother Zishan Sayyid who passed recently. Sweet as the art.